We turn to the reading of the scripture on this anniversary Sunday, and we turn to the book of the Kings, the 8th chapter, which I did not mark in my pew Bible before the service. And we read the story of the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, the temple that David had wanted to build, and yet Solomon, his son, is the one who built. And Solomon, known as the wise king, had this to say at the ceremony of dedication. Hear the word of God. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. And he said, O Lord, our God, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Even heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much less this house that I have built. Regard your servant's prayer and his plea, O Lord my God, heeding the cry and the prayer that your servants pray to you today. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There we go. Once upon a time, there was a church that was growing. And it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew so much that it was sort of out of room. It was out of room, and the people said, well, let's see if we can add on. So what they did was they tried to buy the next door neighbor's house. The next door neighbor didn't want to sell. What do you do? Well, this church tried something really cool. It bought a house on the lake to trade to the next door neighbor that wouldn't sell his house. Shouldn't that have worked? It didn't. So they couldn't grow, so they were stuck. What should they do? Well, you know, the easy choice would be to just stay where you are. The simple choice would be to stay and be a really good small church. But this church said, no, if people are going to come our way, if God is going to send people to us, then we'd better be ready. And so this church started to look for property. And it looked for property, and it found this one. This piece of property that was pretty much woods, but it wasn't just woods, it was also swamp. Swamp, and very fine swamp it was. However, it was 5 acres of property. It was like a half a mile from the church. So the church got ready to bid on it at auction. But then it looked at that swamp a little more and thought, what if we buy this property and you can't build on it at all? So the church said no, and the church walked away. But this brave session got together and said, you know, it's time. We have to step up. We need to make the bold decision to move. So we're going to look. We're going to look for property. And they looked, and they looked, and they looked, and they looked at like 120 different properties. Had one they were really excited about, very excited about. But the price was a little too high. Like $750,000 too high. And so we were stuck. Until the phone rang. The phone rang, and I happened to pick up the phone. And the person on the phone said, are you the church that was interested in that little piece of property that was sort of like a swamp? And I said, yes, we were. He said, well, how would you feel if we were to give you this property? I almost said something really smart-alecky. I was sure this was one of the elders just yanking my chain, pulling my leg. But no, no, this was a representative of JML Anderson & Son, developers, and they had this property, and they were really, frankly, needed to get rid of it and were happy to give it to a church, as they'd given to church properties in the past. So they gave us this little piece of ground here on Gages Lake Road, and it became the future home of the Wildwood Presbyterian Church. So it was exciting. It was very exciting. But then we had to decide, are we going to do this? Are we going to move? Are we really going to do this? I mean, that's a big thing, to get pick up and move where you've been for, gosh, nearly 50 years. And so we had a big meeting, I remember, a congregational meeting where we were deciding whether we were going to do this or not. And I remember one of our high school youth who had, and sometimes it's hardest on the young because that's the only church they had ever known. And one of our high school youth said, "This has always been our church home. I don't think we should move." I thought it was pretty awesome that a high school kid would stand up and say that, take her stand at a congregational meeting. So we had one of our youngest members saying, "I really want to stay here. This is a wonderful church." And it was a wonderful church. In a cozy, beautiful building, and it was. "I think we should stay." And then one of our charter members, Dorothy Harkins, stood up and said, who you would also think, maybe, you know, the charter members, the people that had cleaned out the barn, the people who had done all the work on the barn and the red brick sanctuary, they would want to stay. Dorothy said, "Honey," in the way only Dorothy Harkins can say it, "Honey, we were the church in the pink beach house. We were the church in the barn. We were the church. We're the church right here in this red brick sanctuary, and we'll be the church on Gages Lake Road." And so we decided to move to this beautiful piece of property that needed some work. So it was time for the groundbreaking. Unfortunately, how do you break ground in a swamp? So you don't. What you do is you break ground where you are. Because we thought, we've been in this place for nearly 50 years on Sears Boulevard in Wildwood. We've been there for 50 years. This is holy ground. So let's break ground here. And so we dug up our own ground. We dug up dirt from our property on Sears Boulevard. Lots of dirt. In little packets. And people kept the packets and they took them home. And we said, sometime during the construction of the church, sometime bring your little packet of dirt and put it in our new church property. So some of the holy ground that has been upon which we have worshiped and prayed and sung over the last 50 years, some of that holy ground will come with us. And that's what happened. People took their ground with them, and then there was time for like the serious groundbreaking. So yeah, there were bulldozers over here. There was a lot of dirt moved, a lot of dirt dug out. And that's the same view of that property, which you can see now from the corner of Gages Lake and Old Gages Lake Road. And there's one of the faithful, Margaret Banwert, spreading her holy ground here on this property. And I know many of you did that. And some of you actually still have some holy ground, I think, and there's still time. There's still time to put your holy ground here. So we've broken ground, and we were beginning, and we were, well, there's the first winner. That means there were two. Yes, it was a long process. So the little church grew and grew and grew. And there's the first meeting. The first meeting to be held on the church grounds. I thought at the time this was probably the first prayer ever said there. I came to think later, no, I think a lot of people had already brought their holy ground here. There'd probably been a lot of prayers said. But anyway, this is the building committee. We had sort of like two generations of the building committee because this went on so long. But I think it'd be nice if all of you folks who were on either generation or both of those building committees would just stand where you are. It's Darlene and Laura and Harold. It was years of work and years of planning, and then the whole congregation was involved in planning this church. But this was the first time we met there and walked the grounds and really tried to figure out which end was up. Then came the second winter, and some of you will remember the huge snowfall that fell, and we were going to have to pay to have people shovel out the sanctuary and the fellowship hall, which is where that is. So instead, we sent a band of intrepid volunteers over to shovel the church, the inside. The rest of you will never have that opportunity, I hope, to shovel the snow out of the inside of the church. But I think it was actually a lot of fun. And then, of course, came the great day when the steeple went up on the church. The steeple that, as some of you will recall, the workers affixed a bear flag, a Chicago Bears flag, to the top of it because that was the year the Bears were in the Super Bowl. I know it seems like a really long time ago. It's 5 years. 5 years. That's not so long. Just ask Cub fans if that's been a long time. Now, here's the little-known trivia. After they had put the flag up there, then they continued to build the church out. When it came time to take the flag down, you couldn't reach it. They had to get this huge, immense crane in to take the Chicago Bears flag down Some of you I know wanted it to stay forever. But, you know, the church is open to all, so we have to allow Packer fans their moment in the sun, too. So, the flag came down eventually, and then we were having little tours. When it was cold cement floor here, we had a day where everyone came through and walked through the facility. And then, amazingly enough, it was nearly time to leave. And so we had one last worship service in the barn, which of course had become a gym, but it was still a place of worship. It was still a holy place. We had one last service in the barn where people had worshiped for generations before. And we had our last services in the sanctuary on Sears Boulevard. And that's our last Easter day. And if you look at the corner of the banner there, you'll notice a little bit of the banner from the Korean church, the Korean Methodist church that bought our church building there on Sears and with whom we shared space. Somehow we did 8, 9, 10, worship at 8, Sunday school at 9, worship at 10 for about a year as we shared our building on Sears. And then, of course, came something truly remarkable. Now, I have read about the Spanish Armada. I have read about Dunkirk, the miracle of Dunkirk, when all these boats came from Britain and evacuated the British troops from France right before the Nazis arrived. But this is a miracle that I have witnessed with my own eyes. It was moving day. And it was May 19th, Saturday, May 19th, 2007, when an armada of minivans and pickup trucks gathered at the church, loaded up, and then, making several trips, headed over here to the new church building, unloading. It was like 4 hours. It was amazing. It was amazing. Another great, fun, grand experience. And then, of course, it was May 20th, the day for our first day here in this new church building. We had a prayer service, you may remember, some of you will remember, on Sears Boulevard. And then we left and got in our cars and drove over to the new church building where we gathered, not in the sanctuary because it wasn't finished yet, but out in Fellowship Hall, where we had confirmation. Last year's graduating high school seniors were the first class confirmed here. And so we worshiped in the Fellowship Hall for a good month until Sunday, June 10th, 2007, exactly 5 years ago today, when we had walled off the back there. We gathered in Fellowship Hall, we had the call to worship, sang our opening hymn, and then we came into the sanctuary through all three doors, filled the sanctuary for our first worship service at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. I was counting. Since that day, more than 200 people have joined our church. Since that day, I'd roughly guess, we've continued to be a pad site, a homeless shelter, but we've provided, at least by a minimal count, 1,500 more nights of shelter. Since that day, the Cancer Wellness Center is now a part of our outreach here. People come here to gain healing and wholeness and help. We're dealing with cancer on Tuesday nights. Since then, our children have continued to grow up. Since then, we actually have fellowship space now where we can hear one another talk, where we can really, even though our church is getting larger, where we can actually have more opportunity to become closer to one another. And since then, we continue to gather in this place to worship. To worship. Now, Solomon, in his wisdom, said that even heaven, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, O God, much less this house that we have built. And that's true. It's always true. The church is not a building. The church is not a building. You know that from your earliest. Just for fun, do this with me now. Put your fingers together like this. You did this when you were little. Make your little steeple, Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors. And here's all the people. It's the people that make Wildwood Presbyterian Church. It's the people who have gathered in a community beach house, in a barn, in a colonial red brick sanctuary, and here in the little brown church in the Vale, the people who have gathered to be the church for one another, to pray with one another, to pray for one another, to sing God's praises, to raise our children in the faith, to send them forth out into the world, to reach out to our community and beyond, even to Haiti in mission. It's the people of God who have come together by the power and the presence and the love of God to be the church. So, no matter where we are, that's what we have sought to be as Wildwood Presbyterian Church. And let us continue to do just that. Pray with me. Gracious God, your grace is sufficient for all our needs, and your grace sends us forth in love to one another and to a world in need. So may that ever be true here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church, as we seek to serve you with open minds and open hearts and open hands, for Christ's sake and the world's sake, and also for our own sakes. And let all